Hey, now for something completely different. Certainly not anything like the first two talks. We will go to Jamaica, and I have to tell you a little bit about Jamaica and what the soils are in order to tell you what I did there. There we are in Jamaica, just barely south of Cuba. Jamaica has extensive deposits of earthy bauxite. Bauxite is aluminum ore, and the earthy bauxite in general and in this region is essentially a really deep oxisol. Which means that it's a lot of iron and aluminum oxides, enough to mine, and not much else at all. In this region, in the Caribbean, and not too many other places in the world, the earthy bauxite is superimposed on karst limestone, making for an interesting juxtaposition, to say the least. This road cut is about two meters deep, but where they're actually mining bauxite, it can be 5, 10, even as much as 20 meters of oxic material over the limestone. So they go in and they mine the limestone, like surface mining almost anywhere. If they hit the limestone, they back off because that messes with the processing. They get as much of the bauxite out as they can. They smooth it over, mixing a lot of limestone rubble into the bauxite material, which does not occur naturally, and they put replaced stockpiled topsoil over top of it. And they plant it in grass so they can, as is legally required, say that it is restored to farming, although grass by itself doesn't count as farming. So they run dairy cattle on it to call it farming, and they instantly become, the bauxite mine companies become the largest dairy producer in Jamaica. As a side note. So let's look at these actual soils. These are pre-mine soils. They're not going for the shallow ones, so they're all going to be very deep. They're AEP horizons over many, if you divide it, BO1, BO2, BO3, BO10, and so on. But they're not all the same color, you'll notice, and that's one of the challenges in evaluating. We have the red bauxite on the left and the brown bauxite on the right. Iron oxide mineralogy is a little different, but otherwise they're very similar. They're very fine particle size, but maybe 1 or 2% kaolinite, no other phyllosilicates, so actually very good water penetration and very nice physical properties, stable, not so great in terms of nutrient retention, very, very low charge. So like in many other tropical soils, the organic matter is life or death for holding on to nutrients. So this is the starting pre-mined soil. Post-mined, we have all kinds of variability. We have in the shallow areas, we have this I'm using the carrot as for the human transported materials. So this is replaced topsoil over a soft limestone. We can have replaced topsoil over human transported film material, various mixes of carbonate rock with the original bauxite or oxic material. I'm using those interchangeably. Various densities. We can have the replaced topsoil over an original BO horizon, making it a buried BO horizon or a Bob horizon. I have the minor dubious distinction of being probably the only person ever to have published with a Bob horizon, but they're mixed with a CR. And then we have some buried, the very dense buried bauxite or buried oxic horizon. The one on the right there is really different than the one on the left. This is material that never is naturally anywhere near the surface. It's formed 10 or 20 meters down below the surface and has very low porosity compared to the bauxite or material that's formed near the surface. And I'll just show you a quick plain light thin section. There is this material. It is all fine particles. This is very fine clay size. Let's see if I can. There we go. But what you're seeing here are the standard microaggregates. These are fine sand and sometimes coarse silt size microaggregates. Whereas in the other one, you see there's hardly any porosity at all. So it means that for most of these post-mine soils, we're going to have either the form near the surface bauxite or the form deep bauxite, which is really going to affect water penetration, or we're going to have fill material that's mixed with one of these types of bauxite. So one way or the other, we have very variable water movement depending on what the material they mixed in was. So Here's sort of an overarching question of the study, which is how well does water move into and through these soils? And we took sort of two approaches to look at that. We did a rainfall simulator infiltration study, and we also did a dye application, which is what I'm going to talk about today, finally. So here on a primary, we did methylene blue dye, which is a cationic dye and some concern in a low-charge system, but we seem to have no problem getting the soil to hold on to enough dye for us to see where the water was going. This is a 30 centimeter ring that was placed with ponded dye solution overnight, and the next day excavated out to take pictures and have a look at it. So you see it moves quite well in the pre-mine soil. Let's see if I can do that. Here's the AP horizon. It just keeps moving essentially until we run out of dye. No problem. Very good water penetration. Here's some look at some post-mine options. Here we have the replaced topsoil over some very, very dense till such that it essentially stopped water movement completely. Here is further over in the similar site, you can see the dye was added over here, but right down here you can see the line sort of where the dye is moving across the top of that very dense till. This is that very dense, deeply formed bauxite. On the other hand, if you have fill material that was made of the shallower formed bauxite, it moves through very nicely. And sometimes when we have just the shallow formed bauxite, even in our reclaimed sites, we have the dye moving down. And here again, deep bauxite is going to completely stop the water, the dye and the water movement. And another picture just to show how well that bauxite restricts water movement if it's deep formed. And the dye and the water actually moves into the soft limestone bedrock easier than it moves into that very deeply formed bauxite. And that the limestone itself helps conduct the dye and presumably the water down around the bauxite. So we actually have a situation where we had better movement of dye and water into the system if we had some limestone mixed in than if we didn't. So all of these are nice visuals and sort of qualitatively informative, but not very quantitative. And so my next step was to try to make quantitative images that I could classify out of these photographs. So I started with using my PETON tape to set 20 centimeters of depth or width to 150 pixels to have standardized photos, and then I cropped them to try to get the section that I was going to use with a standard 20 centimeter depth width without shadows or the tape measure. So I came up with a standardized image like this. And then the next step was to take that and take these variable colors and classify into four different classes, and I was essentially interested in either undyed limestone, undyed soil, and it doesn't matter whether topsoil, shallow form bauxite, deep form bauxite, all that counted as soil, or dyed limestone and dyed soil. So I was trying to take those images and decide which of those, pixel by pixel. So I used a decision tree using the standard red, green, and blue values, 1 to 255, that are available in many programs, to assign each pixel one of those four classes. And I did this using three adjustable parameters that I called W, D, and DL, and I just had a decision tree with three questions. So first question was, are the red, green, and blue values all greater than the parameter W? If the answer was yes, then that is classified, that pixel is undyed limestone. If the answer is no, I ask my second question, which is the ratio of red to blue plus one greater than parameter D? If the answer is yes, that is undyed soil. If the answer is no, I ask my third question, which is, are the green and blue values both greater than the parameter DL? And therefore, if the answer is yes, that is dyed limestone. If the answer is no, that is a dyed soil. And so, therefore, I have my four classes pixel by pixel. And I had to use variable values for these parameters because I had such variable coloring in both my soil and lighting and the dye of the different colors bauxite soil. So this is the range. The W was 150 to 220. The ratio D was 0.8 to 1.1, and the DL was about 100 to 200. So let me show you what that looks like. There's the image now that I set up to classify. I assigned white to undyed limestone, gray, light gray to undyed soil, dark gray to dyed limestone, black to dyed soil. So just pixel by pixel, I did that. And here's what I come up with when I do that classification, which is mostly showing things fairly well. So we have the undyed portions over here of undyed soil coming up. We have the undyed soil there. We have the undyed limestone matching over there, and so on. At a little near surface, the blue soil, dyed soil, bleached a little bit, and so it ended up classifying as dyed limestone, but at least I was still dyed. So I did this with my 32 different images, on which I'm not going to show you all of right now, but I'll show you a few. So here is the original, the unmined soil that I showed you to start with. Here is the crop picture, and here you can sort of see, it was hard to see the dyed soil down here, but the dye actually did penetrate down there. And all the rest of these are post-mined. So this is the one where the shallow bauxite was formed, no limestone. You can see the dye there. This is showing the replaced topsoil over the limestone. We have occasional problems in here where shadows will classify, since shadow was not one of my classes are dyed limestone, but mostly a fairly good representation. Here is where the deep form bauxite restricts the motion of the dye and water. Here is where the very good shallow form bauxite mixed with fill that get good penetration. We can show the few undyed areas right here. Unfortunately, my undyed grass classifies as undyed limestone, but that's one of the hazards here. And the last one where you can see the dye being conducted in, and you can see fairly clearly that the only place where the soil is actually dyed is where it's very close to the dyed limestone. So now I have not only sort of images that are classified, but I actually have data. That is, every single one of these pixels now has a classification. And the question is what to do with this data. And there's probably a lot of possible answers, but I'll show you just a little bit that I managed to do with this. So one of them I wanted to do was to look at proportion dyed with depth. And so I did mean proportion dyed with depth, and that's this dark line, and these other two are the 25th and 75th percentiles. This is, that is for the pre-mine soil, and you can sort of see that it's not so variable at the topsoil, and then the variability increases, but this kind of slowly losing our proportion dyed with depth. Then I had actually three different post-mine sites based on how long they'd been mined. This is the oldest one with 20 years or more planted in grass, which actually, aside from producing milk, is very good for reclaiming the soil. So we have a very deep dye penetration going down. So we have a high proportion here, high variability below. We have the 10-year mine site with a lot of variability. This is the site with the very dense fill material on just the one-year site where you can see the shallowest penetration with the highest penetration. So the other thing I did, I'm on my second to last slide, so this will work, is I wanted to look at my infiltration data and see if that was related to dye penetration. So I looked at the proportion dyed at 20 to 25 centimeter range, that's just below the replaced topsoil, to see if that actually had an impact on the infiltration rates. And the answer is a little. There's probably a lot of other things going on, but what's going on just below the topsoil actually influences somewhat the infiltration at the surface. So I have a few conclusions, some conclusions so far. Limestone rock fragments may enhance water movement in post-mine subsoils. Proportion dyed below the topsoil was very variable in most post-mine soil because we have such variable types of material under there. And I felt the decision tree using red, green, blue values with adjustable parameters was helpful in classifying the dyed images. So that's what I have.
We've got time for two questions.
Yeah.
So, did you also look at the pattern? Because you can assume it's sort of uniform dyeing pattern, but it clearly wasn't uniform. There's a lot of pattern in many of these images that they've shown. Were you, anyway, able to quantify the pattern? pattern, or say there are about three or four different patterns that this movement occurs pre-mining.
I haven't had looked at that, but pre-mining, it's pretty uniform. Most of the pedons look very similar. Post-mining, it depends very much on how dense the material is below, and then I haven't done any quantitative pattern analysis. That would be something worth looking at.
So I saw you have very nice precision tree and everything. I was just wondering that with each of the images, did you have to adjust the parameters for each individual, or did you like have groups?
I did do it image by image because the coloring was so variable, and that was I wanted to have a final classification that all had the same four shades or four classifications, but I had to use variable parameters because the coloring was so different image site to site, image to image. So that's I had to do it case by case. Each individual one I had to adjust.
Okay, I think sure.
Right.
Did you control the lighting?
These were just with field. Now I was in Jamaica, so it was all very high, very well lit. So I didn't actively control the lighting, but the climate did it for me. So I didn't take photos on rain days or cloudy days. It was all nice and sunny all the time, but the color of the soil itself was so variable that when the dye hit it or didn't hit it, it was hard to control for that.
So it'd be good maybe in the future to have a color card or something to help standardize these images.
Another possibility too.